thank you very much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I can certainly say that here in the UK, spring has sprung, as we say, and it's a glorious summer's day, spring day, closest we get to summer here. And Eric Sinrod, my colleague's here with me on the phone. And Eric, you've been a little vexed by the subject of domain names, have you, this week?
I guess if vexed means surprised, then perhaps I am. I was thinking that as the Internet matured, that domain name disputes might be going down in number. But I was surprised to see some statistics that were recently reported by the World Intellectual Property Organization Arbitration and Mediation Center. Say that five times fast. We'll just call them WIPO. But according to WIPO, an all-time record 2,764 cyber squatting cases relating to 4,781 domain names were filed in 2011. And this represents an increase of about 2.5% and 9.4% respectively over prior record levels from 2010 and 2009. And what's really staggering to think about is, you know, since the launch of the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Policy, say that one five times fast, or UDRP, in late 1999, WIPO has been the recipient of more than 22,500 UDRP-related cases that have addressed 40,500 domain names. And I'm not expecting you to memorize all these numbers, Jonathan. There won't be a quiz at the end of this podcast, but the numbers are quite enormous. And as the Internet has broadened geographically, so has the country origin of domain name disputes. In 2011, disputes filed with WIPO involved complainants and respondents from an amazing 110 countries. And these cases were handled by 323 different WIPO panelists from 49 countries in 13 different languages. In 2011, the highest sector areas for WIPO domain name complaints related to retail, internet and IT, biotechnology and pharmaceuticals, fashion, banking, and finance. And interestingly, the WIPO panels found cyber squatting had occurred in 88% of the disputes. So one can certainly infer that complainants fare well with their domain name disputes filed with WIPO. And the last point I want to make before I turn it back to you, Jonathan, is that with the recent advent of the .xxx domain for pornography sites, disputes in this area also have arisen. So, Jonathan, what are your thoughts on your side of the pond in your glorious spring day? I will mention here in the Bay Area, it's rather damp and a little bit stormy.
Oh, shame. I'm not so surprised, you know. I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I can remember, this is the bit where I sound incredibly old, but maybe around the mid to late 90s, I can remember when the UK CCTLD, so the .uk domain, improved its dispute resolution procedures. And with that, and together with the extension of GTLDs, so those top-level domains like .info, .biz, a lot of people said that that was on the horizon then, of course, it hadn't come in, but that arbitrations over domain names and litigation would just fall off the cliff because there was enough domain names to go around and everybody would find a place on the internet. And I can remember chairing a panel on this back in the day and being in a minority of one saying that I just didn't think that was the case. And the supporting argument I had at the time was that Harrods, the well-known UK department store, I think even Americans have heard of Harrods, I believe, but Harrods had just started some litigation against a stallholder on Leeds Market, Leeds being a town in the north of England. And he'd opened up as Arabs. And obviously Harrods at the time was owned by a guy of Arabian descent, and he said that it was clearly trading on Harrods' reputation. Now, the argument I used is they didn't bring that litigation because Harrods intended to open a stall on Leeds Market. Harrods had their own place in the world, and the guy on Leeds Market had his own place in the world. Why they brought the litigation was that they didn't want everybody to have their place in the world. They wanted exclusivity on their brand, and they were entitled, in their view, by 100 years of trading or whatever, to always be associated with the word Harrods. And I think that's the same issue that we've had over the years on with the domain names. It's not as simple as saying that there are enough domain names to go around. It's the other issues are really that cyber squatters set up and try and exploit the reputation of those established businesses, and some of them do it innocently, and some of them are much less innocent than others. And I'm not surprised in the findings, but of those cases that I see, I would have put it broadly similar. 70-80% are what we would call in the UK chancers. They're people who are on the make. I mean, the most, I'll tell you one case before I wrap up, Eric. There's a great case in the
UK.
And
I do have a counterpoint, so go on. Yes.
Okay. There's a great case in the UK of a serial cyber squatter who was in trouble with the court, and he'd registered Legoland Windsor as a domain name, Legoland Windsor being a well-known theme park in the UK. And when proceedings were started against him, he changed his own name by deed poll to Lee Golan de Windsor, so that he could say that he had a legitimate right to use the Legoland Windsor domain. But I think these people have been around since, if not since the dawn of time, then at least the dawn of the .com domain name, and I suspect they're here to stay. And I suspect we're still going to see 70, 80, 85, 90% cyber squatters that have to be put down, if you like, by wiper arbitrations. But back to you, Eric.
I was going to simply say that my point in thinking that perhaps domain name disputes would go down wasn't so much that, you know, there's so many different potential domain names out there, there should be one for everyone. My point was that I think once upon a time, there was more of a prevalent thinking that if a domain name was available to register through a registrar, then good, I can have it. I think over time, it's been pretty common knowledge now that if you infringe on somebody's trademark in registering a domain name, they're likely going to come after you, and as you can see from the statistics, the trademark holder likely is going to win. So in these numbers, you know, 88% of victories for the complainants in these domain name disputes is fairly high. So I would have thought that might be chilling, and people that might otherwise have thought about cyber squatting might have calmed down in their activity, but apparently not. So that's the IT law news that's fit to listen to this week.
Good topic.
This is a Tech Law 10 from Dwayne Morris. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, joined by Jonathan Armstrong in the UK. You can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. I'm EJ Sinrod at DwayneMorris.com. Jonathan, why don't you finish up?
I'm JP Armstrong at DwayneMorris.com. And so that the nasty cyber squatters don't get us, you can also find all of these podcasts both on iTunes and on our very own domain, can't you, Eric? www.techlaw10.com. So thanks again for listening to us. We do appreciate the time you spend with us every week. All that remains is to thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.